We have two different passages of scripture this morning, Luke 11:1, and then Matthew 6:5-13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." In Matthew 6:5-13. The Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God bless the reading of his word.
Some of you have already been fortunate and blessed to kind of reunite with the Ingersolls, as you have known them much longer and closer and more intimately than I have. But what a blessing it was early this morning in our first service to catch up a little bit and to hear some of the things that God is doing through their ministry. It's one of those things that I'm gathering after speaking with Carol for a few moments earlier of how long she has actually been in Newark. Did I say it right? Newark. That they could spend a week, I think, sharing stories of what God has been doing and teaching on the ministry of prayer and so forth. We don't have that. So the reason I say that, if you have a few moments afterwards to just kind of hang around, and they will have a table set up with some information, if there are questions on your heart after you hear the things that they have to share, don't hesitate to take time to ask and to spend a few moments talking with them. And so would you welcome this morning the Ingersolls with us?
Well, good morning, everybody. We are so glad to be here. We are David and Carol Ingersoll. My daughter Rebecca is here. Our two older boys, Joshua and Stephen, are in college. We were saying this is the first trip we've made here without our boys. It's a little strange. I said it was calm. Rebecca said it was boring. When I was born in North Carolina. I don't know if all of you, anybody knows that really, but I was born in North Carolina. When I was 8, my father died very suddenly. So my mom made a decision to move back to her hometown, Springville, New York, and we bought a house 3 doors down from the church. And my life became intertwined in the life of that church, in the life of this church, all growing up. I went to Sunday school here. Clarence Neureiter was my teacher, and I will never forget being in his class and him saying to me, "God is your heavenly Father, and he will never leave you." And for a girl who had just lost her father, that was crucial. And it affected my life. It still affects my life. I went to confirmation class. I was part of the youth group. I went to Christian camps. I went to Methodist camps, and it was at a Methodist camp that I gave my life to the Lord and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And so I just am so grateful for this church, the foundation I had here. And I'm also grateful because you have continued to be intertwined in my life and in our lives. This is my 30th year in Newark, New Jersey, and that is such a testimony of God's faithfulness. And through all of that, you have prayed for us, you have supported us, you've sent missions teams down to work with us. So that interconnection, that intertwining continues. So this morning what we want to do is catch you up a little bit. We have a video that has been made by our president, Ephraim Smith. We have a new president of about 3 years, talking a little bit about the vision of World Impact, and then David's going to share what's on his heart.
Hi, I'm Ephraim Smith, and it is an honor for me to serve World Impact as president and CEO. You may be on staff with World Impact, you may be a prayer supporter, maybe you've been a part of our missional partnerships through your generosity. You're a local church that has partnered with us over the years. One of the things that I just wanted to take time to share with you, especially during these times in our nation, is that we at World Impact, we were born for this. We were born for such a time as this. And I know it's challenging times. It's challenging times when you hear about the deaths of African Americans at the hands of police officers. When you hear about the deaths of police officers in unjustifiable ways. There are threats of terrorism. There's racial division. There's uncivil political divisiveness in the United States of America right now. But in the midst of those challenges, in the midst of those complex issues, World Impact was born for such a time as this. Over 40 years ago, during the Watts riots, is when World Impact truly was birthed. In the context of tensions between police and under-resourced African-American communities, World Impact was birthed during the Civil Rights Movement. World Impact was birthed in the heat of racial tensions, in the midst of political dysfunction. World Impact came up in that missional context. And today, we see some similar challenges, but yet we as World Impact must grab on to the belief that we were born for this. See, when we became Christians, we were born again. We were given a new identity, a new mission. We were reborn to be disciples who make disciples, to advance God's kingdom, that the love, that the justice, that the truth, that the transformation of God's kingdom might show up. This is still our missional mandate today at World Impact. We can't retreat. We can't just sit on the sideline and be political commentators. We must participate in the Great Commission like never before, that we can be the healing, the solution, and the warriors of transformation. The mandate of World Impact is still before us, to raise up indigenous urban leaders who will plant and revitalize the urban church, that cities across this country and around the world will be transformed. We can still be about this work. We were born for this. So I pray that you would take hope. I pray that you would feel empowered. I pray that you would be equipped. And I would pray that if you are not currently a missional partner with World Impact, that you would decide to do that now. That in the midst of racial tensions and political unrest and violence as the primary means to solve conflict, that you would decide to come alongside this ministry. We have an array of key initiatives that are all tied together under the banner of Indigenous Urban Leadership Development. That's what's going to transform the city. That's what's going to reform the criminal justice system. That's what's going to rebuild the urban family. That's what's going to strengthen the urban church, is when we infiltrate every social domain with urban disciple makers, with those that are under-resourced, marginalized, and even incarcerated, find that they have just as much right as anybody else to participate in the Great Commission. So, I hope if you're on staff, if you're a board member, if you're a donor, that energizes you to keep going with us for the next 40 years. And if you're just learning about us, I pray that you join us now. We can be the solution in the midst of challenge. God bless you, and know we were born for this.
As believers born into the family of God, we were born for such a time as this. And I want to talk to you about how that comes about through prayer. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We desperately need you more than we would ever confess or know. Thank you that you want to meet with us and that you give us a vehicle to do that.
that we get to talk to you and come into your throne room anytime. We pray that you would teach us to pray. You teach us how to pray. And you would give us greater desire to meet with you, to hear from you, to listen at your feet, so that we can know how to be light and salt in a world that so needs you, in a world that's in upheaval and needs a Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me. I'm been on staff with World Impact, not quite as long as Carol, but about 25 years now. And I've been commissioned to call the church in Newark together and the surrounding area together to pray. It's quite a task, and I don't have the resources in myself to do that. So it teaches me a lot more about prayer. I went to a conference recently at the request of my boss, and it was a College of Prayer conference. You can look up the organization. It's an organization that is spreading prayer again through the church throughout the world. They're in China. They're in Uganda. They've gone to some pretty incredible places. The persecuted church is now crying out to them to teach us how to pray. And so I went to this, and one of the challenges they had for me that the Lord really spoke to me is that cry in Luke, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, it's kind of an interesting challenge because these were guys that grew up Jewish. And they knew the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, probably had them memorized, the Psalms. They knew how to pray. They knew the Amidah. They knew the 18 blessings. And they wanted Jesus to give them a prayer to add on to that so that it would prove that they were followers of Yeshua, their rabbi, their Messiah. And but I think they were looking for something that was a copy, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. That they were looking for something that when they used the right phrases and the right words, the right intonations, the right style, people would say, ah, you're followers of Jesus. But God gave them something so much better when they cried out, teach us to pray. And so we're going to look at that in Matthew, if you have your Bibles. It starts out in verse 5 by saying, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Now, the hypocrites were somebody who wore a mask that wanted to pretend in front of men to get their approval. You know, they wanted to look like something that they were not. And so I know I struggled with that in my own prayer life. I would be afraid of what men would think. So I'd be thinking, okay, what am I going to pray as soon as he's done? You know, because we'd go around in a circle and I'd have to pray. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to pray. And I'd kind of get sweaty and get really nervous because I was worried about what men thought. And so one of the things I had to do was repent of that and ask God to heal me, to deliver me from worrying about what other people think. I don't like speaking in front of people. I said, I'll do anything. Don't make me do that, Lord. But he makes me do that and makes me pray in front of other people. And so I've been set free from some of that. And so that's a good thing because if we are just looking at how men think about us, that's the only reward we get. We want a reward from the Father who has all authority and power in the heavenly realms. And so we need to learn to move beyond that. It says in verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. The Gentiles had many gods. And so they would say all the words that came to mind, all they could think of to appease all these gods so that one of them might help them out and give them what they wanted. So we're not to be like that. We're not to use a lot of words to try to persuade God because God already knows what we need, right? He already knows our hearts. We're not going to fool him, you know? And so he knows what we need. So it says, in fact, it already says that, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So why pray then? You know, a lot of people ask that question. Why pray if God already knows? Because prayer is the vehicle that God put in place so that we could come to the promises that we were given. Prayer is the connector. It's the power for those promises to become reality in our lives. And so when we do something called the upper room prayer as we're gathering pastors, and we use scripture. So we'll take part of the Lord's Prayer, and we'll start filling it with scriptures, and I'll show you how that works in just a minute. So the father says, pray then like this, because he already knew what we needed, right? So he wanted to give us what we needed. So he's giving us a prayer. It's a template. It's a format. It's something that we can use, not just to recite, because all of us probably grew up reciting the Lord's Prayer, and we memorized it, and basically we know it, you know? So he says, don't use a bunch of words, because that's not going to convince God. So just the right words isn't what he's after. He's after something that will connect our heart with the Father. So that, because these guys were in political unrest. I mean, we are times, you know, Trump and Hillary Clinton. Oh, man, the choices. But these guys were in really rough times. The Romans were their conquerors. And if they showed any signs of rebellion or anything that the government didn't like, man, they would take care of them. They'd either throw them in prison, they flogged them, as we saw Jesus was. They put them on crosses if they got caught in rebellion against the government. I mean, these were pretty tough times, and these disciples were facing that because Jesus knew that he was going to be gone pretty soon, right? And so these disciples were going to carry on the ministry of the kingdom. And so they're saying, there's something about your connection with the Father that we need to know, Jesus. So, you know, teach us how to raise the dead, right? Teach us how to preach a good sermon? No. Teach us how to witness? They didn't ask them that. Teach us how to pray. Because they knew that there was something about prayer that would connect the promises or the words that they knew to be true with the reality of God, the kingdom, with the Father. And I think a lot of us, our Christianity isn't very alive because we don't do that very well. Prayer is one of those things, at least when I grew up in a church, prayer was one of those boring meetings that I had to go to. I was expected, you know? And we would get out the list and pray for all the people and all their ailments. And those are good things to do, but there's not the life of the kingdom in that. You know, it's different. We need to pray for each other. Don't get me wrong. But there's something that he gave here that brings life into the kingdom, brings life into us from the Father, and brings the reality of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. So let's look a little bit at what that is. He starts out by saying, our Father in heaven, okay? So when we do a prayer time, it's a worship time. We'll have worship songs before we do it. We'll start out that way because that helps get our heart kind of right with God and in line and working on that. And then we'll take a look. The subject of the whole deal is the Father, right? And if you look in Luke, it says Father in heaven. The subject is not us. And we often make ourselves the subject of prayer, right? Or those that we love or care about. But it's the Father that's the subject of it. Because when we start learning about the Father, so we'll take scriptures and we'll start going through them in prayer about the Father. And remembering, a remembrance, that's what most of the Psalms are. They're a remembrance of how God interacted with his people. Okay? And so we'll start doing that in prayer. What great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Okay? Or God is love. You know, we can start with that one. And we start working on that. We start praying through it. Because oftentimes he doesn't treat us the way we think he should, and so we don't think he's love. But God is love. He can't help himself but to love us. Each one of us are God's favorite. Do you know that? That sounds a little odd to us, but every one of us is God's favorite because God is different than we are. And so we start rehearsing that. You know, he's the one that created heaven and earth. He's the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. He's the beginning and the end. And it all relates to him. It all depends on him. And as we start doing that, we start learning to love the Father again in new ways. It's one of my cries in prayer is, Father, I want to know you as you really are. Not as I've been taught in church, not as my emotions tell me you are, not as my friends, especially in high school or college, tell me. You know, not in the workplace. Because everybody has a view about God. Some people want nothing to do with him. But the Bible has a different perspective on who God is and who God is as our Father. And so we'll work on that for a while about the Father until the Father starts becoming real to us and we start loving him in new ways. Because how many of us pray for the greatest commandment very often? Is that one of your primary prayers? God taught me a little while ago that needs to be one of my primary prayers, to love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Because how can I hope to love my neighbor if I don't love God, right? And so part of that is that's who we are. We're to love God. We're to have this intimate, loving relationship with him. And then it starts coming to life. Prayer becomes fun. Prayer becomes this amazing thing where we're talking to a family member because he's our father, right? We're part of his family. What father doesn't want children? That's what we are to him. We're his children. We're the love of his life. We're the ones he delights in, you know? And so when we start seeing that, and we start seeing that we're a family together. So I'm praying for my brothers and sisters, not because I ought to pray for them, but because something's happening to somebody I care about, one of my brothers, one of my sisters. Now, they might not always do what we like. My brothers never did. My brother beat me up all the time, you know? He didn't always do what I like, but I'm loyal to my brother. And when we start seeing ourselves as a family, we start becoming loyal to each other. So there's a whole move of prayer that we can do about being family, about being sons and what it means to walk as a son in the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, you know? And so then we start living on a different plane, on a different level. We're living according to the truth because the truth is what's going to really set us free, right? And so we want to take that truth and we want to make it our prayer. And as it becomes our prayer, it starts changing who we are, who we see ourselves as. Because really, we're created in the image of God. And one day we're going to see him face to face, right? Don't know what we're going to be like, but guess what? When we see him, we're going to be like him. And we can work on that process now as we take the scripture and start flowing it through the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So when he talks about our Father in heaven, heaven is the reality of his realm, right? The heavens. Actually, the Jewish really says the heavens. And so he's in charge of the whole deal, right? But his kingdom is not of this world. And so as we start working on that, Jesus said to his disciples, "You're not of this world any more than I'm of this world." See, my kingdom is in a different place. And our loyalty then starts to become to a different place. We're not loyal to this world in the same way. This isn't our home. We're just passing through. This is temporary. And so we start praying into that to make that a reality in our lives so that we don't live in love with this world so that the love of the Father can't be in us. That's what he tells us. And so we're working on that. We're working on these ideas that we're flowing through the Lord's Prayer. And so when it talks about hallowed be your name, there's all kinds of names of God, like Jehovah Jireh, he provides for us, right? And I might have to pull out my little, I do a lot of computer searches because that helps me out. And so I look up ideas that I have about God and who he is and about the names of God. And so I'll use them and then start using them as my prayer platform, okay? And so in here I have the names of God because I'm like a little spacey right now. And where'd they go? Okay. They come afterwards. Names of God in Scripture. So he's Adonai, which means Lord. And as I start praying that out, it helps me trust him and understand who he is, okay? Jehovah Rohi. Rohi means the Lord's my shepherd, okay? Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. And so I start praying those out, and it's all the ways that God has interacted with people, his creation throughout time that reveals who the Lord is. And that helps me to trust him for now, right? As I start laying out the names of God and praying through those names, because hallowed be your name means I'm going to treat you according to the way that you really are. This is who you are. You are love. So I'm going to treat you as if you are love, right? I'm going to treat you as if you're my healer, as if you're my shepherd, as if you're my banner, as if you're the one who watches over me, who sees what's going on in my life, okay? Because that's how we start working on faith. That's a faith thing as we pray those things. And so the Lord's Prayer becomes then the platform for that. And it becomes this thing that infuses life, okay? Then as we do that, it starts changing us. Because I can't honor God if I'm living for the world and saying I love you. And so he starts working on us. So his righteousness starts becoming something that we live out because we know that God is righteous. Okay? That's my timer. It's telling me time is short. But it has made prayer something that takes on life and gives life, because the disciples knew they were going to have a hard time out there in that world. The world was a mess. The Roman government was tough. And they knew to carry out the kingdom, they needed the reality, the life of the kingdom, to flow through them. And we needed the same thing in our world. We cannot share Christ effectively by just being good, moral people. People don't care these days. I mean, they like us to be nice to them. That's a good thing. But we need the power and reality of the kingdom, because the lost will be reached by a revived church. I really believe that. It's going to take the church being revived, being rightly aligned with the heart of God, in order to bring the reality of the kingdom so that the lost can come home, so that they care about him. When people receive healing, they have an encounter with God, and it changes them. Jacob had an encounter with God, and it changed him, right? He became Israel, right? Abram had an encounter with God, and he became Abraham. So whenever anybody has an encounter with God, it changes them, and that's what we need. We need a revived church, one where we're walking in renewal and right relationship with God, so that we can pass out that life to other people. And when they see that life, that's attractive. There's something about life that is just amazing. Something about a church that's walking in the reality and the power of the kingdom. And I really believe prayer is that connector. And I believe the Lord's Prayer is something he gave it, I guess, because he saw what was coming and knew what we would need. So let's pray. Father, I pray that our love for you would grow, and that we would love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, with everything in us, Father, so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. I pray that you would make us houses of prayer. Your Holy Spirit resides in us. We're your temple, and so I pray that you would use that, Father, in us, and that we would become a people that connect with you in prayer. That prayer wouldn't be just a drudgery, but it would be this intimate interaction with you where we worship you through your word and through the truth and through scriptures and through spiritual songs to connect with you, Father. And we would learn to hear your voice. And as we hear your voice and receive life, that we would do what you tell us, what you show us, Father. We need you to reveal yourself. We need revelation from you. We need your word to come to life. And we pray that you would teach us how to walk in that, how to walk in a spirit of prayer, a connection with you, like Yeshua, our Messiah, did. And how you taught the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I'm so glad you got to hear David's heart on this. And I'm really excited that he has been really commissioned by our organization to raise up prayer in Newark, to connect with pastors, to bring together people to pray. He's always had a heart for revival in Newark, and we know that prayer is the first step. So speaking of prayer, we would love to have you pray for us. Some of you do. I know many of you do. There's an insert in your bulletin, and we'd love to have you fill that out and give that to us. We send out a monthly prayer letter, but we also send out email bulletins. Some of you are on our team, and you were praying for this trip because we asked you to pray. So if you would be interested in praying for us, we would love to add you to our team. So just fill that out, and you give it to us in the back. Please take a prayer card. We brought 100, so we'd really like to not take too many home. And also, there's a spot here for financial giving. If there's anybody who feels led that they would like to support our ministry financially, we are looking for more financial partners. But I do want to say that we love this church, and we believe that your first obligation is to this church, since you're members here. So anything you would feel led to give to us should be over and above what you've pledged or planned to give to the church. We thank you so much. We thank you for letting us come home. We're happy to be home here. For me, it's home. And to see all of you, and pray God's richest blessings on you. Thank you.